Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
Okay, it's season two, episode 49.
Episode 49.
I always have to pause because I swear to God I'm doing the episode count wrong, but it's 49.
It is, which means that our next episode is our 90th.
Wow.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh my God, we're going to hit 100? Shit, we should think about doing something special.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something fun.
Yeah, I think that will
when
be...
Is the...
I know.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. Let me look at what week that's going to be.
God, I hope that's not Daytona.
It won't be.
No? It'll be...
No, Daytona will be 94.
Oh, my God. It's going to be right around.
St. Pete Race Report.
Oh, my God. That's the 100th?
So yeah, that's the 100th.
That's so funny. That's so fantastic. Funny. Oh, my God.
Oh. We couldn't have planned that any better.
No, and we didn't. And that's what's... hysterical.
And we didn't.
And we did it for once in our life.
Right? I was like, because I am OCD enough to do it.
I know. We would have had we had the foresight to been like, what will our 100th? But look at that. Sometimes fate just steps in and says, you're welcome.
You know, I think somewhere in our subconscious, we got in touch with our inner Rain Man. And we're like, we should start this here, so the 100th falls here.
Exactly. And we our subconscious knew all about the various short interviews we'd be doing in May, and it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's warm up the tires.
Let's do it. So we've got some news to discuss.
Quick news. Our woman of the week is Donna Mae Mims.
I love the name May.
I do too.
With the M-A-E. Yes. I love it.
Yes. And then,
Oh, is that our main topic?
We're just, you know, we're going to be forward-thinking, because this is a forward-thinking podcast.
It is.
And this
about will be a forward-thinking series.
And we're going to be thinking about 2019, because this will be the last episode of 2018. So.
It will.
We're looking ahead. I know. Aw. Bye, 2018.
I know it. And then shit we didn't make up.
And it's inspired by the conversation you and I had the other day about what you saw at Big Woods, so.
Yes, which I've got some more information on that as well.
Oh, awesome. So cool.
Yeah, although I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say we hope that everybody had good holidays.
Exactly.
It's going to drop the day after Christmas, so I hope everybody had a good Christmas day, whether you were with family or working or doing whatever. We hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas day. Yep. If you celebrate other holidays, we hope you enjoy those other holidays.
Yes. We hope that your non-denominational winter season festivity was good.
Yes.
Yes.
You did something for the winter solstice, anything like that? Or if you celebrated Festivus and you let everybody know the problems that you had with them. We hope that went just as well as you wanted it to.
Yes. Please enjoy your cranky time.
Right? Festivus. A holiday for the rest of us.
God.
I love that. Never gets old.
It doesn't. It's so much fun. It's a great episode. It's one of those long-standing episodes that will survive.
Oh, yeah. Forever. Mm-hmm. Forever and ever. All right. Well, let's get into some news.
Oh, so, boy.
Starting off, everybody's favorite bad boy Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul Tracy.
Yeah. So NBC did their little internal investigation, and they said that he did not write the Facebook, I guess it was technically a message or something.
Yes, it was. It was a Facebook message.
And they're saying it wasn't him and that he's staying with NBC.
Yep, and he posted on Twitter and everywhere about how he's, you know, increased security on his social media stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. Granted, we didn't have full access like NBC did.
That's true.
Like from the information that we saw, it seemed like the person that wrote that was Paul Tracy.
Yeah.
But it is definitely possible that it could have been somebody that knows the two of them and was spoofing Paul Tracy, and just somebody that knew him well and knew all of those little details.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
Because that is the best kind of a con, is if you're close enough to know all the things to really make it look like somebody else.
That's very true. And we didn't have all the info.
We didn't.
Oh, NBC, you had an opportunity.
You had an opportunity. And here's the thing, is that I'm not saying you should have fired him over this.
No.
What I am saying is that you should consider firing him because he's a trash announcer.
I think what this is NBC unofficially saying that, you know, they're sticking with the old guard. Like, this we've talked about offline and on here how our series is attempting to grow and they've been making great changes, but it feels like our broadcast partner is not ready to step into those new changes yet.
And, you know, I understand some of where they're coming from because there is a fairly large fan base for Paul Tracy.
Yeah.
There's a large amount of people that really love Paul Tracy and love him as an announcer. I don't really care for him as a person. No. But as far as that goes, like that notwithstanding, I don't think he's a good announcer.
No, I don't really feel like he adds anything.
I don't feel like he has anything. It adds anything special at all. And so that's my biggest issue is I just don't think he's a good announcer. But I understand NBC is coming in and they don't want to rock the boat too much initially. So I don't think that Paul Tracy is safe forever because of this. I think that this is just NBC not wanting to rock the boat too much, you know, before they even start.
Well, and I will say he's put his foot in his mouth 14 other times before and he will do it 14 other times.
Exactly. Like, I feel like they are giving him just enough rope to hang himself with.
Yes, that's exactly it. They're like, all right, we're not going to do it this time. But you know, there was a wink and a nod of don't. Just don't mess it up. Okay. Look here, buddy.
Oh, right. Like.
Just don't.
Keep it together.
Or else.
Get it together. So. Well, they're on your ass. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're on your ass.
Now, we shall see. It was interesting, the news article I read kind of just, it indicated that they didn't have the rest of the lineup for the announcers for NBC, and I thought that was weird, but it was also like a hastily written article, so I'm not putting too much credence in that.
Gotcha. It might just be that there's other people that contracts haven't been worked out, because I can't imagine they wouldn't bring back Townsend Bell.
That's exactly.
I love him.
I mean, I think there might be a right if they don't bring back Townsend.
Seriously. He really does contribute, to the broadcast in a huge way. I always love his insights.
Exactly.
I love his commentary. He just does a really great job.
I mean, he's also not that bad to look at. Let's be real.
Oh my gosh. No, he's not. No, not at all. I will stare at Townsend Bell all day long.
I mean, you know.
Shamelessly.
Yes. I think we have done that before.
Yeah. And he's age appropriate. So.
It's one of the few.
One of the few, yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy. So, well, we'll see. It's just one of those things. It'll happen again. Just wait, everybody. Just wait.
Right. So, yeah, we'll see what Paul Tracy does next.
Exactly.
That will start this conversation again.
I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is coming up, so I'm sure he'll do something there.
That's true.
Pretty sure he did something last time, so.
Yep, he sure did.
All right.
He sure did. I was actually discussing Paul Tracy with some IndyCar fans last night.
Yeah.
And neither of them cared at all about any of, like, his personal life stuff. But they both thought that he was a horrible announcer. They were like, oh, because I was like, oh, did you hear about this most recent? And they were like, no, we don't know anything about that. And so I kind of tell him, and then one just says, you know, I don't really care, but he's a horrible announcer. And that's why I don't like him.
I mean, that's part of it, too. Everybody likes him because he pretends to be this cool guy, but he sucks as an announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Whatever.
And he needs to stop eating drivers. Just putting that out there.
That's why the Indy Lights field is so small.
It is. I'm telling you.
That's the true reason.
Do not go to second location with Paul Tracy.
No. Renus VK just jumped up on Yunkos from, well, now it's the Pro Indy 2000 to the Indy Lights. Watch out, man. Don't be alone with Paul Tracy. He'll eat you.
Yeah, watch your six.
Oh, straight to hell.
Straight to hell for both of us. All right. Well, the W Series added six other entrants, including a driver from Kazakhstan.
Yeah. So they keep adding to the list that they're supposed to be whittling it down to 18. Yeah, 18. Yes. And that's supposed to happen this month. So I think it's at the end of this month in Austria is when it all gets whittled down.
And we assume that it's really only 12 because the six that are ambassadors, we assume, are already going to be in.
11. You forgot Carmen.
Or 11.
Well, there's right. The ambassadors and Carmen Jordan who's coming in.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah. So we assume that there are seven spots already taken. So now we're up to
61
minus seven. Yeah, 54. 54 people trying for 11 spots.
Yeah, that's not great odds. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not disappointed that they're giving more women the opportunity.
No, I think that's fine that they keep adding to the list of people to try out. So, yeah, I just picked.
No.
It's interesting. Kazakhstan. I mean, that's not a name you hear a lot.
It's not. I love saying that word, though, Kazakhstan.
That actually was the country I was for the college Model UN. I mean,
really?
Fun fact about me.
You know, I don't believe that I had working knowledge that you were part of Model UN.
Well, it was during
in college.
It was during college, and I think it might have been during a pretty hectic time for you.
Yeah, it may have been. Well, I was just going to say that doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Like, if somebody had said, do you think Molly is part of Model UN, I would have not even hesitated and said yes.
Yeah, of course she is.
Yeah, of course she was.
Yes. Did she run the Security Council? The answer is no. Kazakhstan does not have a seat on the Security Council.
Damn.
It was all right.
You'd have been fire on that Security Council.
Mm-hmm. We'd have been fantastic. We'd have been just blockade. God, that happened.
It would have been like the most epic game of Risk ever.
It would have. Anyway, so we'll see.
What an awful game, by the way.
You know, I enjoy playing it, but you have to know that you're setting aside an entire day.
That's the thing. Yes. You know, my ADD can't handle a game that lasts that long.
Yeah.
I need to know when the end is when I start the game. That's why I don't like Phase 10.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it could take forever for somebody to get to the last round.
Exactly.
No, I like a game that's got, you know, set rounds, set things you go for, a set start and a set finish. Like, Liverpool is a long game, sure, but it's 7 rounds. I know exactly how long I'm in for.
See, when I was in, again, this doesn't surprise anybody, but in college, a few of us would get together at the Union and play Risk on, like, Sunday afternoons.
Of course.
No, I don't. Why do I keep saying these things about me?
It's
more insight as to why I'm single.
Of course you're real.
Nobody else wants to play Risk and Model UN with me.
So there you go. If you know any single guys in their 30s who like Risk and are turned on by people that were former college Model UN,
hit a girl up.
Have to slide into those DMs for Molly.
I mean, I won't respond because I don't know how to do DMs, but it's fine.
That's all right, I'll respond.
That's exactly it. Oh, God.
Oh, hilarious. all right, well, let's get it out, Woman of the Week.
Donna Mae Mims, and I love her, by the way, already.
Yeah.
So she started racing in 1960, and actually she won her first race in a Corvette, so already here for her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. 3 years later, she won the SCCA championship in a pink Austin Healey Sprite, and she's actually like one of the first women to win the SCCA championship, so that's amazing too.
Yeah. That's super cool.
Yeah.
In 1972, she did the Cannonball Run.
Yes.
And she was part of an all-female team that drove a 1968 Cadillac limo.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And they were sponsored by a bra company.
Yes. I guess.
Good for them.
They, now, granted, the source I caught this little tidbit from was Wikipedia, but, you know, Wikipedia is better than it used to be. But the Wikipedia said, like, they drove in, like, shirts, pants, and no bras. And I was like, but they were sponsored by a bra company. But, all right.
But for a long drive,
I mean,
I wouldn't wear a bra.
I'm not mad at him. That's, you know, the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea. So that's New York to L.A. And
yeah.
That's a long ride.
It is.
Ain't mad at them.
Ain't mad at them.
No.
Also on their drive, they got a speeding ticket.
I mean, of course.
Naturally.
Natch.
Ultimately, they actually didn't finish. They were caught up in an accident, which included liquid from a porta potty.
Yes. It was like a...
That's... Beyond unfortunate.
A car pile up and like porta potty liquid got everywhere. And I was like, nope.
Yeah, that's a hard pass.
It's a hard, no, I don't think so. But so there's a 1981 movie about the Cannonball Run. And it's been a minute since I've seen it. So I can't quite name the actress. But Donna Mae, you know that's what they called her too. You know people called her Donna Mae.
Anybody with the middle name Mae. It's included.
It's included. It's just there.
Yeah.
She was portrayed in that 1981 movie about Cannonball, the Cannonball Baker Run.
That's fantastic.
I can't remember the actress. I just, it's not there, so. Anyway.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, so you already said she was the first woman to win the SCCA championship.
Mm-hmm.
She was also known as the Pink Lady because most of the cars she drove were painted pink.
I know that, like, pink, not actually one of, like, my favorite colors, SB, and we've talked about this, SB, specific shade, X, Y, and Z, but I love the idea of driving pink cars as a woman, like as a female racer. There's just something kind of like, yep, I'm a woman, deal with it, here's my pink car.
Yeah, like just being over the top.
And
I think that's why I like hot pink out of all the colors of pink, because, again, yeah, neither one of us are huge pink people, because hot pink is just so bold and ridiculous that I'm like, yeah, I can get behind that. Like,
yeah.
This isn't just pink. This is the most ridiculous shade of pink ever.
I mean, it's just pink extra.
Yeah, and I'm extra, so yeah, I like
I get it. So our quote, she was asked about her pre-race ritual, which is always hard for me to say. And she said, I psych myself. I remove all of my makeup. I think stern and I bristle. I don't talk to anybody. You cannot think nice. Chivalry is dead on the racetrack. You're out there only for one thing, to win. Nobody remembers second place. I mean,
Second place is just the first loser.
I mean, that's it.
You ain't first, you last. That's a great quote, though.
That is. Like, that's a great, like, I can see that as a pre-race ritual. Like, let me, like, get there.
Totally.
Let me just get in my zone.
Right? I remember, yeah, in swim meets. It's like, once I'd be getting in the zone, it's like I put my goggles on. Mm-hmm. They were the ones with the little reflective mirrors so you can see my eyes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, nope. It's like when I wear sunglasses. It's like a separation between me and everybody else. Like,
exactly. You have to almost put on that, like, it's the performance persona you have to put on.
It is. And it's putting it on like, okay, like now I'm in the zone. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm shutting out distractions. I'm in my own head. Like, yeah.
I'm here to fuck shit up.
Yeah. We're here to fuck shit up.
Walk in, fuck shit up, walk out.
Walk out.
Yeah. I think that's basically what she's saying. Walk in, get first place, leave. Dip.
Right.
So that's
very cool.
That's Donna May.
Donna May.
Donna May.
Donna May.
Oh my God.
I love it. That's fantastic.
I know, right?
All right. Well, let's look towards the future.
Yes, in the year 2000. No, that doesn't work anymore.
In the year 2000. I love that.
I know.
A little bit from Conan.
God, that was so good.
It was. I love that they did it like 10 years after the year 2000.
You know, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Love that. All right. So, some hopes for the 2019 IndyCar season.
What do you think? Looking into the crystal ball and your heart. What are you hopeful about for 2019?
So I'm hopeful that we have good turnout at the new tracks.
Yeah.
I think that COTA actually is gonna be a pretty good race because Austin is a very like eclectic city.
Keep Austin weird.
What'd you say?
Keep Austin weird.
Oh, keep Austin weird. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's a very eclectic city.
Yeah.
And so I think that IndyCar is going to draw some fans who, or some people who, you know, have maybe gone to the F1 race or who've been interested in racing, you know, but it's a little, you know, not as classy as F1, but it's a little classier than NASCAR. So a nice middle ground. I'm just saying in general.
I know.
Nothing is NASCAR.
No, but that's exactly it.
Yeah, and so I hope that we gain some local people that are just curious that want to come out to that.
Yeah.
I think Laguna Seca is going to have
I think it's going
to
be
comparable turnout to Sonoma.
It's going to be that first race bump with Laguna Seca. If we're being honest, it's that first race bump. So the first year will be great. Then all of a sudden, I fear it will peter out afterward.
I think it will.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah, but I'm excited for COTA. Yeah. So I'm hopeful. Yeah, hopeful that those races end up being good additions to our schedule.
Yeah. I mean, I'm I know that it's not 2019, but I know in 2019 there's going to be talks about Australia. So I hope that pans out somewhere in 2019. Because
from your lips to God's ears.
I mean, a girl's going to start. I'm going to just start squirreling away money for Australia.
Seriously. Let's start the GoFundMe now.
Exactly. Like, we got to get there. All right. Yeah. We got to. We have to. So I'm hopeful that also happens.
I will be so excited.
I'm already looking forward to the 500. I know we always look forward to it, but there's so many storylines, I think, this year or this upcoming season. You've got, you know, Alonso trying to do the Triple Crown. You'll have Elio trying to get the fourth. All of these rookies or young guns now coming in who I think also have a good shot. Like, it's going to be... It's just going to be drama, I feel like, especially if we get a high number for bump day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I think I agree with you. Lots of storylines, a lot of drama. I think that this 500 is going to have even more people that attended in person and is going to have even more buzz around it.
I agree.
Because bump day last year was so sensational.
Oh, my God. I don't think we've all still processed it.
No, and it was just such a huge upset.
Yes.
For Hinch and Pippa.
Yeah.
And both of them have, you know, a very big fan base that were very disappointed by all of that.
Yeah.
And so with all of, you know, and there's two people that have been in the 500 every other year that they've attempted to be in the 500.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Hinch making himself a shish kebab.
Right. You know, that time.
He wasn't able to drive that year.
No.
But... So I think that because of that, there's going to be a lot more people that show up on that first day because they weren't there in person last year. And it's like, shit, if it's going to be this crazy again, I want to be there. So I'm excited to see a lot of people in the stands on qualifications weekend.
I mean, that's actually one of my favorite weekends to begin with. And the more people, I think that just adds more sort of this generalized excitement in the air. So it's going to be great.
It really is. And you know, what's interesting. There's... Because at my job, I wear my SCCA jacket around sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so different patients that are into racing will notice that. And I actually had a patient who was wearing a Vision Racing jacket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's old school. But, you know, because a lot of people in Indianapolis, like your family, you guys always listen to it on the radio.
Yep.
To different things. So we have a good amount of people that go to the race that are from here. But there's still a good amount that just listen to the race and don't actually go. But most local people... You know, or they used to anyway, go to time trials, to qualifications weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like they would religiously go to that, but then not actually go to the race. And so I always find that interesting when there's people that they're like, oh, no, I've never been to the actual race. We always listen, but, you know, I always go to qualifications.
Yeah.
I like that.
It is. It's I think the city, kind of every person in the city has their own sort of 500 story and how they do everything, and it changes. I mean, yeah, my family, we used to listen to it. Dad used to take us to practice when we were, like, younger, and now, like, it's completely upended.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Now we take him.
Now we take him for Fast Friday. We're there every single day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the race, they come over the PA and ask us politely to leave. Like, please, girls, please leave.
It's time.
We need you to go home. No.
I'll tell you what they're really tired of. Our tongue-in-cheek personal safety plan tweets.
But they are so good.
They are golden every time.
We will never not tweet that.
No. In fact, I want the next personal safety plan tweet we do to be a picture of your dad sitting in the stands with his arms crossed and that make me move.
Make me. I wish you would. God. No, but Dad, there's lightning and you're in a metal. No. No, I'm not leaving.
You're sitting on a lightning rod.
No. If you die here, Mom will kill me.
Yeah.
There will be two deaths.
No, because you would just never go home. Well, I say you would have to fake your death.
Yeah.
We would have to fake your death.
Yeah, I'd have to join witness protection somehow.
Yep. We're going to have to knock a tooth out so that they can identify something.
That would be it.
You're about to learn some Espanol.
Yeah, all righty. Or me gusta. I don't know.
It's all right. You speak French. It's close enough.
All the Romance languages are the same.
Yeah, no, if you know any of them, you can speak to anybody who knows any of the other ones. That's a fact.
That's a fact. God.
I only wish my dad was actually alive so that he could throw as much shit back as we throw to him about this.
I know, it feels kind of not fair.
It does, and I know that it kills him.
I know, he's up there going like, damn it.
Oh, he's got a sassy response every time.
Every time. I know. Oh, I know. He's sassafras up there. Just ready for us. Ready.
I'm going to hear it when I actually die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we all will. Okay.
It'll be like, great to see it. Now, I got a bone to pick with you about this whole romance languages thing.
I got a lot of problems with you people, and you're going to hear about it.
And then you're
going to
hear about it.
Yes, I knew I could work that in. I knew it would come.
Well done. Well done.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So besides... it's a long holiday season for some of us.
It is. I'll tell you what I'm super excited for.
Yes.
I'm excited to see so that there's been a sign in turn one that says Sunoco. For years.
Yeah. Because
they're the sponsor of IndyCar Fuel and of NASCAR Fuel. As far as I know, they're still the sponsor of NASCAR Fuel. So I don't know if that sign is going to change or not.
Well, because they're... I think it will.
I think so. But I don't know, since they're still involved with one of the series that races at that track, if they have a contract for how long that sign's going to be there. I don't know.
Well...
If it does go away,
mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for a sign to go up that says Speedway.
I hope
it says Speedway and not like Marathon.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it has to say Speedway in the Speedway. And then I want that fucking fantastic picture that we get every year on Qualls Weekend from Stand E.
Yes.
Turn one, looking down the straightaway with the pagoda and a sign right up front that says Speedway.
I think it will, because they're now going to be the official fuel of the IMS.
Oh, then it's definitely changing.
I think it's changing. So,
no, that's happening then.
We getting a new sign.
If they don't have Speedway up there, if they have Marathon because they just are idiots, I'm going to be so mad.
I'm going to burn that sign.
I'm going to riot.
Just the two of us riding in East End.
I'm going to set the building on fire.
I will set something on fire.
But yeah, that's not a Speedway in the Speedway.
Yeah. I will be, I think, kind of a larger overarching conversation that's going to be happening this upcoming season is going to be safety, because the windshield testing is going to be, you know, ramping up. Obviously the Pocono incident with Wickens is so I think that's going to be like not a weird, but like this quieter storyline behind everything this upcoming season.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think you are correct on that. In fact, David Land actually had a Twitter poll yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that.
What is more important to you, like in a race car? And there were like three answers, and one was, I want it to be safe. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's ugly.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, what's more important to you? And then the other one was, you know, visual, like, I want it to be beautiful. I don't care how safe it is.
Hmm.
There were some interesting responses. And yeah. The majority of responses were, you know, I don't see it. The majority of the responses were, it definitely should be safe. You know, IndyCar is already pretty dangerous as it is, you know, but also the underlying theme of, we can still make a good looking car that's safe though.
You're right. Like, I think like we have the technology, we can build it. And that's why I'm very happy the way like the fear is, after something happens, there's that like knee jerk reaction, like, we have to fix this. We have to fix this now. And it sometimes doesn't lead to the best fix. And I'm happy that the series A has already, like, we're already looking into that. You know, we have to have some sort of cockpit protection area. Yes. And they're not just like, here we go, ta-da. They're like, all right, we're testing this. Like, you know, our drivers drive on an oval, so we have, you know, visual for the drivers to worry about. So I'm excited. I think this is going to be a fun thing that will develop over the next year.
It will. And I know that, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about the catch fence and what can make it better or worse, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been a lot of good conversations that have come about from you know, since Wickham's crash.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's, it's silly. I don't know a better word for it, but it's silly to assume that there weren't already conversations happening in IndyCar about that.
True.
Because, you know, it's one of those, the catch fence is right now kind of a necessary evil.
Yes.
Until we figure out a better system. And that's not anything new. It's something that people have been working on, mm-hmm. Especially since Dan Weldon stuff.
Exactly.
And so we just don't have a good solution yet.
Exactly.
But I'm excited to see, you know, hopefully something come about sooner rather than later, you know, about how we can make that a better safety net, or how we can, you know, change the structure of that.
Yeah, I think maybe it wasn't the highest priority. I think obviously the windscreen was kind of their initial, but there's always been that thought of we have to adjust this catch fence. Like, it was put up because they needed something.
Absolutely.
And now I think they're like, all right, well, we got to work on this too. Like, all right, how can we make this better? How can we build a better mousetrap, really, is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because when they first hit the fence, I mean, it wasn't about the drivers at all. It was to protect fans.
Yeah. From
and yeah, exactly. It was to protect fans from the car. But there was no thought initially as to what it does to the driver's car to them.
Yeah.
And it's evolved, you know,
it has.
It's first installation. And, you know, the IMS has always been on the forefront of safety. And so mm-hmm. I'm sure that there is a team that is all that they do is look at data from races and accidents and try and figure out and engineer the best solution possible.
Exactly. So,
I mean, they created the safer barrier. I have complete trust in them.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. They know what they're doing. They're working on it. Can't wait to see what y'all come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that, which, since you talked about the windshield and whatever, we also, I say since I was with two IndyCar fans, we also talked about Justin Wilson last night, actually.
Yeah.
So on that actually reminds me that something from PRI that we saw that was very cool, that we're hoping to discuss, we're hoping to talk with this company. And do an interview. But it was a visual flagging system
mm-hmm.
that comes across the instant messaging system in the car and, you know, lets you know if there's a local yellow, full course yellow, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and they have some of that, you know, they have some visual stuff, but it was something, you know, that comes in. But the additional super cool part about this particular technology
mm-hmm.
is that it gives real-time information to the rescue workers as far as GPS location on the track, exact GPS location.
Yeah.
And exactly which cars were involved and were hit and the G-forces and speed that they hit at.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost is a triage tool for the safety team.
Yeah, and it's got the Are You Okay button.
It does. It has an Are You Okay button. You can hit yes or no. And which is very cool, because a lot of times when you see, you know, a multi-vehicle accident,
yes.
you see all the AMR guys go up, and obviously, you know, they've discussed on their drive over, I'm going to this car, you're going to this car, you're going to this car, you're going to this car, and they all kind of, they fan out and do a quick triage, and then it's like, okay, who has the sickest guy?
Yeah.
You know, who's in dire straits here? All right, you know, it's like the ones that just need restarted, all right, cool, like, anybody can handle that. Let's move the physician over to the car that actually has somebody that's injured.
Right, and, like, I think somebody able to say, okay, like, this person in this car has responded, like, they're not, I mean, check on them, but they're not, like, not responding.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, at, was it Portland where Dixon, yeah.
There Dixon was like, whoop, just let me out.
Right, like, before when the AMR guy got to him, like, you could see him, he was like, I'm fine, go. And he's, like, pointing to, I think it was Marco, because he flipped.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, Dixon was like, you don't even have to stop, bro. Like, I'm cool, go to his car.
Yeah. And I think that's going to also help with response time and everything else, so.
I think so, too, because Dixon's a very seasoned driver, and he's the Iceman, so he keeps a cool head in all situations.
Yeah.
I don't know that your newer drivers, you know, they might be a little too stunned to think, you know, the four steps ahead of, hey, I need to let, they're still processing what the fuck just happened, whereas mm-hmm. Dixon's like, there are other people here doing an important job, and I need to let them know that they could skip me because I'm fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, your rookie drivers aren't even thinking that many steps ahead. They're still in what the fuck just happened.
Oh my god, a car just went upside down. I'm out. Get me out. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, for that I thought it was very cool, because currently mm-hmm. the cars, you can download the information, but if you turn the car off, then the information's lost.
Yep.
Forever.
Yeah, which is...
There's no black box currently, whereas this would essentially be a black box as well.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
So,
I think safety's just going to be one of those big things we're going to see a lot coming out of in the next season, maybe the season afterward, too.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on to some shit we didn't make up, you think?
I think we can.
Well, you know what? I skipped a few things. I sure did. Sorry.
That's all
right. I skipped right on down.
You just went, ta-da. We're done.
Ta-da. All right. What are we watching in motorsports in general?
I think we're going to have an eye on the W series. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to have an eye on the W series.
Yeah. That's really the big thing. I mean, we watch other series just to kind of keep an eye on it, but it's going to be the W series. I'm interested to see what happens.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too. I always, because we follow the Red Bull Air series, I always kind of keep an eye on what's going on in their series and how they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I enjoy that. Oh, which actually, I met somebody who was originally from the Czech Republic.
Oh, my God.
In the last few weeks. Yes. And so I had to tell them about Peter Klopstein's car and all this business.
Airplane.
He's from the Czech Republic. Or, yeah, airplane. But it had race cars painted on it.
It did have race cars painted on it. And we talk about race cars all the time.
We do. So, anyhow, I was actually like, hey, did you know about this driver from your country? Which, of course, he did. Or this pilot from your country. And, of course, he did.
Good.
It was very cool.
Awesome.
But, yes, I always like to kind of keep an eye on them and how they're doing.
I mean, we keep an eye towards the other ones just to see who's doing what, anything cool coming out of them. Yeah.
We like to keep our ear to the ground. The NHRA.
Obviously.
Obviously, because we love the entire Force family. Ooh. Which, did you see the video with Ashley or with Courtney? Yeah. Courtney and Brittany Force.
Yes.
Playing the Ellen DeGeneres Heads Up game.
Oh, my God. Yes.
They got one answer.
I mean, that's one of those games. Like, I love that game, but you get, like, so hyped up you can't give an answer. You just start yelling things.
It was so funny. And so I love that they're doing that. Just like we've got the Penske games. We've got the You Don't Know Jack. I love all of the teams.
Just having fun.
And different series that are jumping on this. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. And speaking of NHRA, I think since we're not going to go to Portland this year, we can go to the NHRA here in Indy.
Oh, that's right.
Because it's always it's the same weekend as Portland, so.
It is.
That's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that. That'll be a great time.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a hell of a fun time.
Yeah, it will.
Yes.
Yeah, it will.
I'm excited. Now I'm excited about more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Always excited about more stuff.
I know. My work isn't, but I am.
Same.
Same, dude.
Yeah, my bank account, also not enthused.
Not at all. No. No.
Not at all.
You want to do what? God dang it.
Damn it. I guess we're eating ramen noodles again.
Yeah. Remember that fun goal we had for 2019? That's not happening. Choose another goal. Which, do you do, this is completely off topic and I'm putting you on the spot. Do you do, resolutions at all? Have you thought about your 2019 one yet?
No, I don't do resolutions.
I didn't know if you were a resolution person or not.
I'm not, and here's why. I set different goals for myself at different times throughout the year.
I get that.
Just based on where I'm at in life currently, and so.
I like it,
I've just never been a big, 2019, I'm starting this. This is my resolution for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to me, I feel like. I feel like it's a new year more in springtime. I know that the calendar changes and all that, but springtime is like the new rebirth. And so it's usually springtime that I feel more inspired to make major life changes.
Yeah, because the winter in the Midwest is actually shit.
It is. And I'm just fighting the seasonal effectiveness depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So, no, I do not do New Year's resolutions. Do you?
I don't. I kind of think of more of New Year's Eve, I'll stay up and clean the house and everything. And so I'll start with a clean house. And I like to think of like a theme of the year. Like, you know, this year I'm going to try and focus on something, but it's not like at the end of 2019, have ran 6 marathons, lost 20 pounds and paid off all of my debts. It's more like a theme.
Gotcha.
I'm a focus on some.
I'm going to focus more on, you know, this blank overarching. Well, I will say that I do that, although I don't know that I'd necessarily pick a time of year to do it. I'd have to think back about. But I usually each year set, like, a goal for myself in nursing.
Ah, yeah.
Like something that I want to focus more on, or something that I'm not as strong in that I'd like to be better at. Mm-hmm. And so for some things, it involves, you know, like doing education, CEs, whatever, going to classes or conferences. When I was working a lot of ICUs, it would be different things like, okay, my goal this year is that no matter how busy I get, I'm going to absolutely make sure I turn my patients every 2 hours.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
And it's like, you know, and it's things that, you know, we do normally as nurses, but sometimes when you get busy, it's a little crazier.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I try to make goals that are things that I know that I don't like to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Like there's
but
like
just to be like, okay, I know this is really the best, and so I'm going to make a point
of trying
really
to do
making
it.
Sure that I do that this year.
Yeah. There's like the personal one, and then there's like, all right, in my professional life, I need to try and do something a little bit. Yeah. So you continue to grow. Really, it's making sure you grow every year.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just it's like, okay, what am I going to focus on so that I can be a better nurse this year than I was last year?
Yeah, I get that. Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of growing,
we also have some goals for this podcast, and
we didn't hit them, but that's okay.
We want to grow as a podcast. We want to grow our numbers everywhere. We want to grow our numbers as far as downloads and listening. So if you're listening to us right now, obviously you found us somewhere.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Make sure that you, you know, rate and review us. We really appreciate that. And share us with your friends and family. We're on every podcast hosting site imaginable. So no matter what they have, they can listen. Awesome. They also can listen directly from our Facebook page and our YouTube. You can find both of those by searching Fast Cars, Fast Girls in the search bar of either Facebook or YouTube.
Yes.
You can find us on Instagram at Fast Cars, Fast Girls. You can find us on Twitter at Fast Cars in 317. We would like to hit some number goals. We're not going to hit them for 2019, but we're going to be pushing that in early January. And for those of you who share and retweet and things like that, we're going to have some giveaways. If we hit the numbers,
I think so. We should.
We're going to give away some shirts. We've got stickers. We've got buttons.
I might have
this,
some.
This is the first generation Fast Cars, Fast Girls shirt. Okay. Yeah. This
is vintage.
It's vintage.
It's vintage.
We're going to have some new merch this year. But it's a great shirt. I survived race weekend with Fast Cars, Fast Girls.
And you know, that's a feat in itself.
It is. It is very impressive. It should be in the Guinness Book of World Records, honestly.
Honestly, I don't know why it's not.
I don't know why it's not. Anybody who goes to race weekend with us and doesn't end up in the hospital with liver failure, you deserve a t-shirt.
Or possibly just a nervous breakdown.
That too.
May that is too. More than nervous breakdown.
Absolutely. And as an added bonus, if we hit certain numbers, we are going to do another live Ask Me Anything episode.
That's very dangerous for us.
It is, but you guys know you want to hear it.
I mean,
know you want to hear more.
We had a lot of fun last time. We had a
we
lot
really
of fun.
Did.
And yes, keep going. Sorry.
I was saying we really did. And I love that we did that, you know, a live video episode as well. So you could actually see our faces and our reactions.
Yeah. Some of us were very concerned.
I mean,
some of us are still. Some of us.
We didn't lose any listeners over that, so.
That's true. I will say that.
Yeah, we didn't have like a sudden drop in numbers after that, so we'll take it.
I think we might have gotten an increase in protective orders, though, after that episode.
That's 100% possible.
Yeah, we had a lot of FMK, so that.
I think if you search Joseph Newgarden Abby Meyer, there's an OOP process somewhere.
That's all right.
The painter was very concerned with how I responded to that question. Tim especially.
Well, I feel like they are always concerned about us.
I feel like they really singled me out on the FMK.
Yeah, you got a rough
I got
one.
Screwed. Yeah.
Yeah, did. You did. So find us on all social medias. Feel free to reach out and let us know if you've got questions. You know, we've got one we got to work on. We just haven't had time yet. Let's be real. It's the holidays.
The aerodynamics?
Yes.
Yes. Yep, we had a listener that suggested that we talk about aerodynamics, and she was actually kind enough to send us a couple of links.
Which I appreciate.
Oh, 100% appreciate it. Yes. And I like skimmed them both, and yeah, I was like, this is very cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
And we love it. So we're definitely going to cover aerodynamics in the future. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if there's anything that you want us to talk about, you know, last season we talked about the flags. We talked about, you know, just different things that are kind of, you know,
fun.
In the background of racing. Because, you know, one of the things that we like to pride ourselves in on is that you can listen to us if you know next to nothing about racing. You can listen to us if you know a lot about racing. Yeah. And there aren't any stupid questions for us. If you're a new race fan, or if you've been a race fan for a long time and just never felt like you could ask the question, you can ask it to us. Absolutely. And you don't even have to do it publicly. You can DM us or, you know, anything like that on Twitter, Insta, or Facebook.
Yeah.
And we will happily respond to you. You can do it publicly or privately. There's no dumb questions. We all knew nothing about IndyCar at some point.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what we'd like to do moving into 2019 is continue to help people who know a lot learn about things they might not know, or drivers they might not know, and people who don't know anything build that knowledge base. So, yes, please ask, and, you know, we'll answer some here on podcasts. Sometimes that leads to a deeper dive, a written thing, things like that. So we're always out to have fun and for some learning.
And we also enjoy some listener questions that we end up posting on our various social medias and discussing, like, you know, top 10 drivers and things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, if it's stuff like that, we're going to answer it, and then we're going to throw it up to the rest of you guys to answer, because why not?
Yep, and if you would like your question to be anonymous,
just let us know.
You can just let us know that. We will happily keep it anonymous.
Yeah, that's not a problem for me.
I say otherwise we'll credit you, because we think a great question deserves a great citation. So
exactly. We're all about the citations.
We sure are. A nurse and a lawyer. If we don't do anything,
we're going to cite it.
We document it.
All right.
Everything is documented.
Everything documented. All right, now I think we kind of covered that last part, so.
Shit we didn't make up.
All right, so why don't you lay the groundwork, because I had this written down, and then you and I had a discussion the other day, and I was like, well, this is where we're going.
I like it.
So set the scene.
I like it a lot. So I was at 1911 Grill on Friday evening. My Uncle Mick and my Aunt Donna were in town, and both of them would come to the race before. Uncle Mick came for a very long time. It's my mom's brother, and so they came as, you know, kids in the 60s, mm-hmm. When they were, like, in their teens, and then decided to get tickets as adults, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, so they've all been to the 500, and so we were looking for a place to go to eat on Main Street, and we end up at 1911 Grill, because naturally.
Naturally.
And so I got there a little bit after everybody else, a little bit late. No one was surprised. And we had a great waitress, and I don't remember her name, which was unfortunate, because she was so good. She literally learned everybody's name at the table.
Wow.
And would call you by names. You know, she'd be like, Abs, you ready for another Blue Moon? I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, yes.
And, so apparently Mom was talking about the podcast before I got there to the waitress. Which,
all right.
Hey, ain't mad at her. I love when people shill for us.
Right? It's a Christmas present.
Yeah, right. And so when I got there, the waitress says, oh, I have a racing question. Your mom said you have, you know, you'll know the answer. She's like, well, let's get, you know, orders done first and whatever, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. So we order all that business and get our food. And then I was like, oh, what was your racing question? And she says, there's a picture of something on the wall on the landing of the stairs going upstairs at 1911 Grill. She goes, mm-hmm. and it says something, it's some, you know, sweepstakes. She goes, mm-hmm. and I don't know what it is, but your mom said you would know. And I'm like, oh, I was like, well, like, can I get up there? And she's like, oh, yeah, like, it's just on the landing. So even if the upstairs is closed, like, you can still get to the landing. And so I go and I look, and I kind of glance, and I see it's two big sheets of paper that is very clearly very old, and handwritten pencil. And I kind of glance, and I see the word sweepstakes, and then I read the whole thing, and it says, International 500-Mile Sweepstakes.
Yep.
And I was like, okay.
Yep.
What year?
Yeah.
What year? And so then I start looking, and it's written in pencil, Well, it's the handwritten entry list to the first Indianapolis 500.
That's amazing.
And it even has dates of when people were added, because it starts in October of 1910.
Yeah.
And each month you can see more people have been added. And so it's, you know, team or owner, car, the car's nickname, and then car number and driver. And Ray Haroon, because you were actually ordered in the field based on your number.
Oh, my God. First one. That's so funny.
Yeah. And so Ray Haroon was originally number 14, and so he was the 14th, you know, starter, but then he actually changed the number to number 32.
Yeah.
And so, and because of one of his sponsors, something with number 32, and I don't remember because I didn't have my phone when I walked up there like an idiot. but it was this very cool framed, you know, framed and matted, and it had a piece of brick from the original brick track. And there was a little plaque that talked about Ray Haroon and, you know, the number of the car and all that, gave a little explanation. And yeah, and it was just beyond cool. I mean, it was literally just seeing that piece of history was beyond cool.
Yeah.
So the original handwritten list from the first ever Indianapolis 500.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's pretty badass.
It's super badass. Yeah. And it is, you know, it looks like all of the other things that are memorabilia like that you can buy from the IMS, you know, that have been matted and have little explanations or have like a piece of brick or a piece of a ticket and this and that. And so then I started thinking afterwards, well, maybe those papers were a copy and maybe this was something that you could, you know, buy like a replica of, et cetera, et cetera. And so I did a, not a deep dive, but not a shallow dive, a medium dive.
Sure.
To see if, you know, this memorabilia existed. It does not.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It doesn't. and there's no mention of this piece. So the next time that we see either Sarah Fisher or Doug Bowles, I'm going to ask them, you know, all right, who had this handmade for Sarah Fisher?
Yeah.
Because this is not a piece of memorabilia that was available to anybody.
Yeah, like, no, you don't just go and buy that. That's
right.
That's amazing. Or I wonder if
it's on loan from the museum. That could also be a possibility.
That could also be a possibility. But goodness, I wouldn't put it up there. But I don't.
Well, I mean, but it's Sarah Fisher's place.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, it could have been a, you know, Sarah Fisher's going to do some of the like coffee and driver coffee and racer things.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they did a trade season. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, she still does a lot of positive stuff for the IMS.
Oh, no. I meant I would have put it in a more prominent spot.
Oh, you're saying like, oh, okay. Yeah. Not the restaurant in general.
No. Yeah.
Well, I almost wonder if it's located there.
I mean, maybe so it's not so, out.
Yeah, so that it's not, you know, something that people are apt to steal. Or, I mean, not, but, you know, some people are assholes.
Some people are.
But yeah, this is something that, this is the only one.
That is so cool. That is so very cool.
Yeah, and how many times have we been there and never even knew it was there?
Yeah, countless. Countless times.
Countless times. Yeah. No. So, yeah, I came back and I told the waitress, I'm like, that's one of the coolest things you're ever going to see in your life.
Yeah, you probably should go back up and take another look at it, lady. Yeah. So that just led to some more facts about the different names and different races that had been at the 500. So before the International 500-Mile Sweepstakes in 1911, in 1909 and 1910, in August, May, July, and September, there were 82 races that took place over 4 weekends. And there were races of different miles. Like, there was the Presto Light one. That was 250. There was the Wheeler-Schiebler Trophy, which was 235. The Cobe Trophy, which was 200. And then there were, like, 5-mile races, which you know was just a free-for-all shit show.
Yeah.
So, that happened. And then
That's only 2 laps.
That's 2 laps. But this was back in, like, 1909 and 1910, so.
I mean, so it still took them 45 minutes.
It still did take them 45 minutes, yes, yes.
There were 3 yellows.
Exactly. And half of the cars did not finish.
Actually, we should research that. That's probably pretty close to what
That's probably actually true, yeah. Like, that's going to be a deep dive at some point. Like, maybe before, right around May, we'll have a better answer about all of this. That's definitely like a pre-May type deal.
Definitely. Which, fun fact, since the Press-A-Light trophy you mentioned was sooner 50, Press-A-Light was the company that Carl G. Fisher owned.
Yes. Yes. I know.
So the track has a long... Oh, I know you know. For our listeners that didn't recall that. The IMS has a long history of being in business with the business that its owners are in business with. Or that they own.
Like Clever Girl.
It's got a long history of...
incestuous business rhythmus.
Yeah.
It's a very incestuous.
And conflicts of agreement that make lawyers' heads explode.
Exactly. So much heartburn. So much heartburn. So as you said, 1911, it was the International 500-mile sweepstakes. 1916, the International sweepstakes, because it was only 300 miles, because we were in rationing in that time.
We were.
1919, the Liberty sweepstakes. No international. Right. No international. We said no thank you.
Nope. Just Liberty, because it was 1919. And well, we just won the war.
And we said, everybody else can get some.
Yep. Liberty.
And then, of course, 1920, it was the International 500-mile sweepstakes. And from what I could tell, 1981 was when it was first the Indianapolis 500.
That is correct.
And then in 2016, they added the presented by Penngrade Motor Oil. And in 2019, we might have, it's not Penngrade unless Penngrade re-ups, but I don't think so. So there might be another presented by for the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, which is interesting because the 2016 was the first year that we had a title sponsor for the event.
Yes, that was the very first time.
It was, and was frustrating to a lot of people because it was the 100th race.
Yeah.
The 100th Indianapolis 500. And... so I was glad that any of the things that I bought that said, you know, the 100th, I bought before the title sponsor came along, because everybody else, you know, they looked at the merchandise and they're like, I want this, but I don't want it to say Penngrade Motor Oil. You know, this is the first time we've ever had a title sponsor for this race, and it's on the 100th.
It was actually due in part to all of the upgrades for the 100th is why.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sell an expensive sponsorship deal,
like, let's start
being
there.
Being able to include the 100th? Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a seller's market.
Exactly. So we'll see what's going to happen in 2019.
Yeah.
Another thing.
I would imagine that now that we've done it, that, you know, they're still open to an event sponsor.
I think they're going to stick with it.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know why you turn down money.
Yeah. And I think that the way that they have it phrased, so like there's the Honda Indy 200, there's the ABC Supply, whatever. But this is the Indianapolis 500 presented by... it's almost like a softer sponsorship, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's still...
As opposed to the, you know, Big Machine Vodka 400.
Yeah.
You know? God. It's, yeah. It's an afterthought.
It is. It's a comma and then a sponsor.
Yep. Yes, because we're not putting any words in front of Indianapolis 500.
Oh, no.
Except for the... what number it is.
Yes. Which, let's not get into that, because you know that drives me crazy about the 100. I'm stopping.
Yeah, I know the 100 first.
All right. Anyway, I think it's time to wave the white flag.
I think it is.
What do you got for me?
Well, I hope that everyone, again, enjoyed their holidays. Let's see. We won't drop again until after New Year's, so yep. Everybody have a safe and fun New Year's Eve.
Yep.
If you're not working, be safe. Take an Uber, take a Lyft. I believe the AAA even does rides on New Year's Eve. If you're a member, they do rides for free.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a fun fact.
I appreciate this.
On New Year's Eve, if you're a AAA member, you can get a ride home for free. And I don't think they'll tow your car for free.
No.
I don't think they will. But if you drove somewhere and you were a little overserved, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't drive drunk. As my dad would say, it's amateur night. There's way too many people out there driving drunk. So
God,
be safe, but enjoy New Year's Eve. And if you're working, because you are, you know, either a first responder, EMS, paramedic, you work in healthcare, doctors, nurses, techs, respiratory therapists, firefighters, and police.
Or you work at a bar and you can't get the day off.
Absolutely. For all of you that have to deal with all of the drunk people making poor decisions, God. I wish you a very safe and boring night at work.
That's very nice. I like that.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I was going to say Happy New Year's Eve. And I am excited for the things we have coming, everyone. So we are saying goodbye 2018, hello 2019, and it's going to be a blast. So stay tuned, sports fans.
Stay tuned. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time.
We got nowhere to go but up.
That's it. All righty. I think that's it.
I think that is. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening.